this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the opportunity to praise your name and to glorify your name, Lord God. Speak now, Lord God, for we are listening. Speak because your children are listening, Lord God. Speak a word of love and a word of hope and a word of peace for us. Speak, God, for we need to hear from you. And then take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, and you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. So we give God thanks and praise. So friends, here we are today, and we have one of these, famous scripture, or well-known scripture, right? And my sermon title is Moved by Compassion. And so today I don't want to focus so much on the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, but I want to look at Jesus' compassion. We know that story. We know the multiplication story, and it's a good story. It's one of the best, right? Where Jesus would take the bread and take those 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiply it over and multiply it, that there were over 5,000 people fed. You know, 5,000 men. Today, I want to though look at what Jesus is teaching his disciples and teaching us. Several things within that story, right? So let me begin with this reflection for you. And it's titled, Gruff Old Man Carries Hidden Grief for 50 Years. And the writer says, my four-month-old daughter and I took a trip to the library. She babbled softly as I browsed through the books. As we walked, I heard an older man say gruffly, "Tell that kid to shut up, or I will." Can you imagine? Angrily, I responded, "I'm very sorry for whatever in your life caused you to be so disturbed by a happy baby, but I will not tell my baby to shut up, and I will not let you do so either." I braced myself, expecting an outburst from him. Instead, he looked down, took a deep breath, and said softly, "I apologize." He looked up at me with tears in his eyes, and we remained silent. Finally, he looked at my daughter, and she smiled at him and happily kicked her arms and her legs. He wiped his eyes and says slowly, "My son died when he was 2 months old." I moved to sit in the chair next to him. He went on to explain that his son died from SIDS over 50 years ago. He described how his anger grew, leading to a failed marriage and isolation. I asked him to tell me about his son, and he did so. He smiled back and forth with my daughter. Eventually, he asked me to hold her, and he held her. His shoulders relaxed, and he briefly laid his cheek on her head. He returned her to me with a heartfelt thank you. I thanked him for sharing his story, and he quickly departed. This was an act of compassion, you see. And it is this compassion that belongs to Jesus and that reaches out to us today. This kind of compassion. It's this about Jesus that charms us more than anything else. Compassion is a sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or the misfortunes of others. To have compassion means to empathize with someone who is suffering and to feel compelled to reduce the suffering. It's a fuller, truer definition than feelings alone, and it is a very biblical understanding. Jesus' compassion, which we seek every day, and we don't even have to worry so much because he grants it. In the Matthew text today, the feeding of the 5,000, we read, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick." He had compassion. "And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the crowds away, so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves.' And Jesus said to them, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.'" Compassion, you see. And then we see also in Mark, you know, there are two feeding of the thousands. We see feeding of the 5,000. And in Mark and Matthew, we see feeding of the 4,000. And it is said by the theologians that there are two separate, Jesus had two separate feedings. But here's what Mark says in that text. "In those days when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, 'I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance.'" Here was Jesus, Savior and Lord. He knew what he had come for. Yes, yet he would take the time to have compassion on the people. He was concerned that they would be hungry and they would faint and have nothing to eat. And again, the disciples replied, we know what they replied, we know what they said, right? The disciples said, "Send them away." You know, we live in a world now where compassion is becoming rare among people. Because of political ideologies and differences, folks have lost sight of compassion. When people are suffering, compassion is key, you see. Leaders, no matter how strong leaders are, no matter how we are, no matter what we say, it's not about show. What we do to show is to have compassion. Compassion. Sometimes people are not seeing that you have compassion. They don't know what to do. Maybe that one phone call that you need to hear. Maybe you need someone to pick up a phone and says, "How are you doing this week?" Compassion. Some folks only show compassion when everybody else can see it, right? Because they want the mark of compassion to see how kind and gentle they are. But let you be between a rock and a hard place, you don't see them. But compassion isn't like that. Compassion is every day of our lives, isn't it? And so the disciples didn't have compassion. They looked at all those women and children and men and said, "Send them away. Let them go find, they were their days because they had come in for the Passover meal." And yet they never said to Jesus, "Jesus, can we come up with something to feed these hungry people?" Never said it. They had no compassion. But Jesus replied to them, "No, I can't do that. I can't send them away." Friends, this is the same Jesus that turns up right now in the hospitals. People are sick and dying. Same Jesus. Same Jesus that turns up at the bedside of your loved one when they're dying. Same Jesus that shows up for us, a compassionate Savior. And Jesus understood the social woes of that Roman Empire. He knew it. That the hierarchical setup of that system was. That those at the top, right, had all the food they wanted to eat. You see, the first thing to recognize is that that world of the first century Roman Empire was marked by significant inequalities concerning food access. It's considerate. It was amazing, just like we're seeing now in parts of the U.S. We're seeing it now because of the coronavirus pandemic, don't we? People are hungry. Lines upon lines. People have never gone to a food bank before, lost their jobs, wife and husbands. We see it also with children who have come across here from overseas. And it doesn't matter that they didn't come the right way or the wrong way. these children that are locked up in places that they ought not to be, God wants us to have compassion. Compassion first. First compassion, then law. Jesus was never with the law, you see. Compassion says, I see your need, I see your hurt, and I'm going to take care of your need first. Because we want people to have compassion for us. It is so easy to distance ourselves from people who are hurting because everything is all right for us. Compassion. Compassion means that we look at where the need is and we do something about it. Many people knew food insecurity and they struggled on a daily and seasonal basis for adequate food and nutrition. They were hurting. Can you imagine if someone shows up here and needs something to eat and we say, no, you got to become a member of the church first before we give you food to eat. That's an example of not, oh no, or we say to them, which way did you get here? How did you get here? Did you take a plane? Did you walk? Did you swim? How did we cannot give you anything to eat until we see you figure out your status? Could you imagine? Christian believers, this is what the Lord wants us to think of today. Can you imagine if when the first immigrants came, they sailed in to the harbor of New York? Can you imagine when they sailed into Ellis Island and those who were here said to them, no, you can't. They had been coming miles on a ship, living in terrible conditions, dying from cholera and all kinds of diseases. They didn't come in big jets. And when they got to the shores of America, could you imagine if they said, no, we can't give you anything to eat now. You got to turn your ship and go back. This is not what the Lord expects from us. He wants us to know that. And we're going through this pandemic so that we can learn a new lesson. Friends, the test is for us. And we as a nation must rise to it. And we have to come to a place where we put away our political ideology and become like Christ. We are Christian believers. Our ideals must be higher. And we must always be ready to stretch out a helping hand for somebody who is in need. Jesus wanted them to see that. Can you imagine being so hungry that you can't feed your children? So Jesus showed the disciples. He teaches us today. Yes, he'll do the multiplication. We sometimes get so caught up in the multiplication of that story. The multiplication is not up to us. We have no power to multiply anything. The multiplication is up to Jesus. But the compassion we can have. We are called to be compassionate people. And so throughout the gospel narrative, throughout the stories in the Bible, we see a compassionate God. And we want God to have compassion on us. If we're diagnosed now with a sickness or we lose a loved one, we don't want God to say, oh, no, no, no. Look what you did. We want God to forgive our sins, forget what we've done, and have compassion on us. So here's the good news. Here's what the scripture says from Old Testament to New Testament about God's compassion. One of the scriptures in Nehemiah says, but you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore you did not desert them. God is compassionate. We hear the psalmist says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love and according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression. According to your great compassion. Jesus had an example in God. Throughout the Old Testament, you see, he said, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. I want to remind you that you serve a compassionate God. And it says, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Friends, we need a more compassionate world. We need to be more compassionate people. And we have the example to know that God was compassionate and Jesus was compassionate. And out of that compassion, the miracle came. It was because of his compassion that the miracle came. The Bible tells us his compassion overtook him. And then the disciples couldn't do otherwise, because in essence he commanded them. Even if some of them were still, you know, incompassionate, he demanded of them. He demanded, his compassion would demand it of them to go find food. Go find food and feed them. Go, therefore, Christian believers, and do what God wants us to do. And so, Apostle Paul reminds us, right, as he speaks about the children of Israel, about being selected, he knew what compassion meant, Apostle Paul. Because he was, a killer of Christians. He was not a good man, but he would receive compassion on a road called Damascus. He should have died in his sin, but because of Jesus' compassion for Paul, Paul got a second chance. Right? He was blinded and turned around. Friends, all of us here are here today because of Christ's compassion. We are not perfect. We have sinned against God. Not one of us. Is there one without sin? The Bible says, cast the first stone. But because his mercies are new every day, morning by morning, new mercies we see. Great is thy faithfulness. His faithfulness comes through his compassion for us and his great love. And even when we don't show up at church, even when we get our back up, even when we carry on, a compassionate God looks down from heaven and says, you know what, they're not very smart. I know better because I'm God. And I'm going to love them and take care of them anyhow. Right? Thanks be to God for that. He's going to take care of us anyhow. Even when we mess up, he's going to take care of us. That's our compassionate Savior. Friends, let us say thank you, Jesus, for his compassion. His compassion does not demand money. His compassion does not demand good looks. His compassion does not demand status. His compassion does not demand where we live or where we don't live. His compassion is freely given to all of us. Now, you know, Newsday sent me a little thing, asked me to write a piece for next week. And I think it's about, why do people get sick? The gist of the question. Huh? Why do we get sick? And I've been pondering it. I've been pondering to write something that will be sound. Because we know that God is compassion, yet there is sickness and death in the world. Friends, let me remind you, we live in a fallen world. Because we live in a fallen world, sickness and death comes. That does not stop God's compassion. Because even through death, he's compassionate. Amen? Even through death, Christ is compassionate. He will bring us home, bring you through that pain and sorrow. I know that for sure. Just happened to a family member of mine, and by God's grace, he is bringing them through his great compassion. And we can trust in that. You can trust in that. So I could stand here today, and his family will be going to church. I could stand here today and say, in this difficult time for the Wisdom family, God's compassion is above what we could think or imagine. Because now his compassion is extended to we who are here. And because of that, we can trust God. So friends, we can rejoice in knowing God is compassion. We can rejoice in knowing when our time comes, a compassionate Savior will bring us through. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Yes, let's give God a praise offering. Amen. Because God is compassionate. Oh, we give God thanks and praise. Hallelujah for his grace and mercy. Amen.